glorify your name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you've done in our midst. Father God, we thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here tonight. We thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father God, we thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void, but Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, that we'll take the word that we hear that brings forth life on the inside of us. And we'll go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation, revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that has begun on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way. It gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you most of all that that anointing is here and present. That anointing is here to help us, to just help us to get through every situation, just to make everything okay. We thank you for that anointing that's present tonight. Father God, we thank you for mom and dad as they're there in Seminole, Texas. We thank you for the anointing of God being there. We thank you for healings taking place, salvation taking place. And we thank you for as they go from there to Kennedy, Texas. We thank you, Father, for awesome, incredible things taking place in their crusades. And many lives will be changed and touched. Father God, we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. I just looked it up, trying to figure out, and actually just figured out Facebook Live, even though it's on silent, when you hit Facebook Live, it actually makes noise. But they're going to try to broadcast the Crusades this week, and I guess it doesn't start till 7 o'clock tonight, so it's not even on yet. That was actually, I hit a video from last week. But they're having services at 7 o'clock, and then 10:30 in the morning they do have a prayer time. And if you have Facebook Live, it'll be the Kenneth Hagin Ministries, actually, on their broadcast. But really depends on each and every church, depends on how good their internet is. And just to tell you where, they're in Seminole, Texas. Most of you probably don't know where Seminole, Texas is, and I didn't either, actually. It's so far in West Texas, the closest town is Hobbs, New Mexico. So actually closer to Mexico than a bigger town. In fact, that's where they fly into. So it's like 20 miles from Hobbs, New Mexico. So it's in West Texas. And then Kennedy, Texas is actually over between San Antonio and Corpus Christi. We're about halfway down. You can kind of see that's where Kennedy, Texas is. So that's where they'll be this week. And then like last week, like Greg said, we were at what we call it the RMAI Regional Director. RMAI stands for Raymond Ministerial Association International. And what we do is we divide the country, the USA, up in different sections, and then we have a regional director over every section. So this past week, we met with all the regional directors over all the sections of the U.S. and talked about what God's doing around the U.S. and how God's moving, and talked about some techniques. I mean, it's always good to hear, what's going on in this church and that church. We heard about problems too. I mean, that's what you do. You talk about problems, talk about solutions, but you know what? All we found out is the devil's the same, no matter what city you live in, but God's still the same as well. Amen. And and always the good overcomes the bad, but I mean, there's always issues. We all have issues. I mean, issues happen. It's because we say it all the time. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. So it's interesting. In fact, we're talking about some stuff and my dad said, and this happens sometimes in our own life. It says, it's funny because we're focusing on the few problems that we have instead of focusing on the 85 to 90% success that we're going through. And sometimes it happens in our own life. And that's the devil. The devil will try to get you to focus on a few problems that's going on instead of focusing on how good things are going. And sometimes, I've even heard people talk about, thinking about maybe they've gone through a little time where it's a little bit tough in life, a little bit maybe some financial, there's times we have financial crunches, like when your transmission happens to go out one day and you weren't saving, money up for it, but then I've heard people, they're griping about all that. Then they start to remember that 5 years ago, they didn't even have a car. They were barely making their rent, and sometimes we forget about how good our God really is. because we're focusing on a few small things. But tonight I'm going to actually, just to kind of let you know what happens every year about this time. This term in the school, I teach a class called Faith Library 2. And in that class basically means we call it Faith Library 2 because everything that we have in our bookstore, all our books, we call that Faith Library. Now, the primary, the biggest thing we do teach about is faith. But the reason it's called Faith Library 2 is because I can teach anything that we teach, all right? But primarily, I do teach on faith. And so during this time, every year, I'm always studying on faith and stuff, but I always study a little bit more on faith because I'm teaching on faith. And so I've been reading some books, and then, me and my wife were just talking about the good fight of faith the other day. So I knew my grandfather had a book called How to Fight the Good Fight of Faith. I read the book, and I just want to share a few things. I mean, just a short message. I mean, just a reminder. I'm sure most of you know, but I mean, there's just some good things because, you know, there's some good things we need to hear over and over again. Sometimes we don't hear enough basics either. And, you know, and I played football all my life. Well, not all my life. I haven't played football in quite a few years. But I mean, growing up, every year and every August, we get out there and it's 100-something degrees. We're all used to it here in Oklahoma. And then it's funny because we go to two-a-day practices in August and nobody complains. And then school starts and say, well, it's too hot. They can't have school in that. I'm like, well, where were you guys out there complaining whenever I was out sweating like crazy in a football pads? You know, back whenever, now, a lot of kids, parents do complain. I'm thinking, it really hasn't gotten much hotter than it was back then. And our coaches weren't nice. I mean, they just, you know, they didn't have all the make sure you have water stuff or whatever. But anyway, I made it. I survived. But every year we go out for football practice. And the first thing that our coaches would do is talk about the basics. Talk about how to block, how to tackle, you know, how to hold. So, I mean, even running backs, I mean, how to hold the ball without fumbling, how to hand off. I mean, just really basic stuff. But, you know, and that's because it's important to know the basics. Now, a lot of times in the Christian world, after you get the basics down, no one else talks about them ever anymore. Now, what's really bad, if we're really doing what we're supposed to do, going out and winning the lost, and churches are not teaching the basics, then people who are just getting saved now are not even getting the basics. And that's why it's important. Now, it is great that we have plenty of books and CDs and DVDs and all kinds of things out there, but you know, not everybody wants to sit around and read books and DVDs and things like that. But I do think it's good, but we also should be teaching. And so we all know the scripture, 1 Timothy 6:12, and really the first part of the scripture, it just says simply this, fight the good fight of faith. And my grandfather actually asked a question, are you fighting the right fight? Are you fighting it? Because it says fight the good fight of faith. And what does that mean? You know, it says, you know, the only fight that Christians are called upon is to fight the fight of faith. If there's any other kind of fight, it's the wrong fight. Now, I don't know, you know, obviously whenever he wrote this, he wasn't on Facebook. Because there's a lot of Christians that are fighting a fight that's not a good fight of faith. They're fighting a doctrine fight, they're fighting this, or some people are fighting, I don't know what they're fighting. But I read a lot of Christians fighting against each other, you know, and I believe the most important things that us Christians should do is go out and get people saved instead of fighting about some small doctrines. Now there are some major doctrines that you need to have, and that's, you know, you simply need to understand that Jesus Christ, he did die on the cross, that he rose from the grave, and he's at the right hand of the Father, and if we believe that he's in our heart and confess him as our Savior, we shall be saved. That's important. If you believe that, you know, that is very important. And, you know, some of the other things I think we should believe, but you know what? You know, I know they're going to heaven, so I'm not going to pick on them. I mean, you know, they're going to heaven. In fact, you know, I've seen, you know, some of the other denominations doing a whole lot better job of winning the loss than some of the charismatic people have done. You know, and, you know, it's kind of sad. I mean, you know, because I want to see people born again. I want to see people's life change. But ultimately, I want to see their destination change. And in fact, that's really kind of the whole point of being a Christian. The whole point is to get as many people on your team so in the end, we have more winners. You know, and we've all played games like that, you know, where you try to get everyone on your team or whatever, but that's how what it really is. So if you're fighting any other kind of fight, it's the wrong fight. Now, some Christians say, like my grandfather says, I'm going to fight the devil. But there's no really need to fight the devil. You know, in any way, you couldn't defeat him if you tried. But you don't have to defeat him because Jesus already defeated the devil. We don't have to try to fight the devil. We don't have to fight the devil. All we have to do is use the name of Jesus. He's already defeated the devil. And it says then now, in my name, the demons tremble. And so if you're fighting the devil, that's the wrong fight. There is no fight. That's what some people say, well, I'm fighting sin. Really? I thought, once again, Jesus redeemed us from sin. We have been redeemed. We don't have to fight sin. In fact, he says that, Brother Higgins says it this way, and I call him Brother Higgins to let you know, it's my grandfather. He says, the cure for sin is Jesus. He says, he put away sin by sacrificing himself. So there really isn't a sin problem. There's just a sinner problem. And when you get the sinner to Jesus, Jesus cures that. So we're not fighting sin. Do you know what we're really fighting? We're fighting ourselves. We're fighting our own mind. Because, see, faith is just believing. And so we're fighting the ability to believe. Now some people are trying to believe. They're saying, well, you know, if I pray enough, I can get faith. But that's not how it works. You know, some Christians, my grandfather says that, some Christians try to believe and it's such a struggle for them. And so they say, well, they're just trying to have faith. But that's not necessary. All we have to do is act on the faith we already have. Faith already belongs to us. And so he says, he likes to use the word, this is the phrase he wants to use, the word, acting on God's word rather than the term have faith or believe, because that's really what you're doing. You're acting on God's word. All right? You're just putting God's work to work. And then, of course, you know, he goes to Romans 10:17, and we all know what that says. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I've said it over and over again, we have to continue to hear. And in fact, the way my grandfather always read it was, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He always points out, it's not by having heard the word, but by continuing to hear the word. And that's where a lot of us miss it. See, whenever we need the word, you know, we've heard it before, but we need to continue to hear it. Now there are a couple of ways to hear the word. One way is simply being a service like this where we preach the word. Now, you have to actually, in order to get faith, you have to preach on faith. Do you understand that? If we're trying to have faith, we have to preach about something we're trying to get. Now, another way to hear the word is actually not hearing. It's actually reading the word or hearing, you know, a CD or a DVD or whatever. Whenever you read, it's like hearing. All right? Because you understand the word. And I always like to use a book as an example, because I've seen people read a book, and they really like the book, and then somebody makes a movie about the book, and they go watch the movie, and they don't like the movie as much as they like the book. And you know why? But when they read the book, they used their imagination. They were kind of imagining how they thought the movie should be, and when Hollywood got a hold of it, they made the movie a little bit different than what they thought. They liked the book better. And that's, you know, sometimes that's another problem. Instead of knowing what God's word says, we're always hearing an interpretation that somebody else has of the word, and it may or may not be a good interpretation. And that's why my grandfather always even said, when you read my books, I want you to get the Bible out for yourself, and I want you to look in your own Bible, and I want you to notice the scriptures, and I want you to read the scripture for yourself, and notice that when I quote the scripture, it's the same as it's in your Bible. You know, and I do believe that we should read the word, that we should know what the word says. And in fact, once again, my grandfather says that one of the reasons is that we don't believe is we don't have knowledge of the word of God. And that's why Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In fact, the Bible also says people perish for lack of knowledge. All we have to do is know what the word says. And he says it this, he says, It takes no effort whatsoever on the part of intellect or the will of man to obtain faith. As soon as the light of God's word comes, faith is there. Knowledge of God's word comes first, and faith automatically accompanies it. So as soon as you hear it, as soon as you see it, faith comes in. And I'll give you an example, and I don't want to take too long to read the example, but there when Paul was preaching one time, it says there was a man who was crippled from his mother's womb who was sitting there listening to Paul, and all of a sudden Paul realized the man had faith to be healed. And when in the middle of his message, when Paul realized the man had faith to be healed, all of a sudden he told the guys to rise and walk, and he did. Now, how did he realize that? And I've actually seen this happen even myself. Sometimes whenever you're preaching, all of a sudden you see somebody, and it looks like, boom, the lights come on. They get it. And as soon as they get it, now in this situation, Paul was preaching right in the middle of his message. He actually interrupted his message and told the guy to get up. Why? Because as soon as he heard it, faith came in. And when that faith came in, it was real simple. The problem is you got to get that faith in. Well, how do you get that faith in? By hearing the word. And I tell you, you know, I get excited every time I read the word, every time I preach about the word, every time I hear the word. It makes me more excited because, you know, I understand that I have been healed. Now, many of you know I've been going through some struggles here, you know, with my kidney. But you know what? I know I've been healed because the Bible says I've been healed. It says 1 Peter 2:24, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Now, if I was healed, it doesn't say I'm going to get unhealed. It says if you already were something, then you have to, you know, you have to do something to get un. It's like if you get married, you're married. The only way to get unmarried is to get a divorce. Now, you can act like you're unmarried, but you're still married legally on paper until you go and decide you're not. And see, I think that's the same way with healing. You need to understand, I've been healed. And no one's going to take that away from me. There's no other contract that's going to supersede that. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, provided it for me. It's mine, and I'm going to take it. Now, there are many times whenever you go to the doctor and you get a bad report, or you can tell that your body's not functioning like it should function. But the Bible says that we're not moved by what we see. See, my faith is not in what I see. It's what I know. What do you know, Craig? Well, I know that Jesus Christ came to this world to redeem mankind. I know he took stripes on his back for my healing. I know that's what the word says. I know the word says I'm healed. The word says I can claim my healing, and I claim my healing, I take my healing, and healing belongs to me. See, you know, and we know from Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is. See, whenever you get faith, it's there now. I don't have to try to find it. You know, it's not like, you know, finding Nemo or finding Dory. I don't have to find faith. Faith found me. It's mine. It belongs to me. And really, sometimes, you know, when I read the word fight, you know, I'm thinking, I'm really fighting with my own intellect, my own self. It's a battle in my own mind. Simply to believe or not to believe? That's the question. Kind of sounds like Shakespeare. To believe or not to believe? But that's simply where it comes down to. You either believe it or not. You know, that's why, you know, I was just in Branson and they have that Ripley's Believe It or Not place. And that's what you need to do. You either believe it or you don't believe it. It's that simple. But here's the simple part about it. You believe it and you receive your healing. You don't, you stay sick. I mean, you know, those are your two choices. I mean, you know, and I guess, you know, if you followed out, if you followed everything out and you stayed sick and you died and went to heaven, I guess ultimately you're still going to reach your heavenly reward. I guess that's good. I like to stay healed. You know, I don't want to suffer. I don't have to suffer because, you know, and this is simply, I don't know how many times, and I'm this is what I tell the devil. I tell the devil, I talk to the devil a lot. Why? Well, the Bible says resist the devil, he has to flee from you. So I just tell him where to get off and what to do. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, whenever I feel that he's trying to speak to my mind and trying to put things in my mind, like, I guess you didn't really get it. You know, I just talk back to him. You know, I said, you know, Mr. Devil, Jesus Christ did not die on the cross, did not take the stripes on his back, did not defeat you for me to be sick here. I mean, he didn't do all of this for me to be sick, and I'm not going to be sick. Sickness cannot live in my body. It has no right, has no authority. You know, I don't know if I'm a good prayer or not. I just tell the devil what, I just tell him what I think. You know, because, well, I don't, not what I think, what I know. And I know that I've been healed. You know, and it doesn't have to be healing. Whatever you need, whatever you need, all you have to do is just simply believe. You know, we shouldn't have to walk around, hurting. We shouldn't, whether it's was physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, or anything. Once again, John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that you might have an abundant life. And so really, I feel if my life is not abundant, I'm not, I'm not letting Jesus fully be what he wants to be in my life. Do you realize that? Now, I mean, my life could be more abundant in some areas, and it's my fault that I haven't taken hold of. And this is really what happens right here. This is what Brother Hagin says. He talks about mental assent. Mental assent is not faith. And he says this, and I want to read this because many times we don't think about this. Many times we unknowingly make a substitution for faith. We substitute mental assent or mental agreement. For instance, we mentally agree that God's word's true, and we think that we're believing and we're in faith, but we're not. We can mentally assent or mentally agree all day long that the Bible is true, but the word does not become real until you act on it. It is only when you act on God's word for yourself that it becomes a reality to you, and it's only when you act on God's word that you are exercising your faith. Now, simply too, thinking about mental assent, how many times have you been in a conversation with somebody, and someone says something, and you disagree with them because you don't want to fight with them, you don't want to, just say, yeah, that's fine, that's right, or maybe, you do agree, but my grandfather says it like this. For example, you can hold to the resurrection truth as a great doctrine. I mean, you can believe that resurrection is good, but it will not mean a thing to you until you can believe in your heart and say with your mouth that Jesus died for me, Jesus was raised from the dead for me, he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and he did it all for me. I'm free. It's when you believe the resurrection truth in your heart and confess it with your mouth, when you act on it, that the word becomes something more than just a doctrine. It becomes a reality. Remember, the people who get answers from God are those who act on his word. And simply, that's what I've told people all the time. The secret of faith is doing the same thing you did when you got saved. Saying it with your mouth, believe in your heart, and having what you say. It's simply that same thing. So anytime that sickness tries to come in, you say, the Bible says that I am healed. So I'm saying, I'm healed, I believe I'm healed, and I'm receiving my healing by faith. And whether it's whatever it might be in your life, it's the same thing. It even comes down to whenever we've sinned and come short of the glory of God, we say with us, Father, forgive me. I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. It's just that simple. Say it with your mouth, believe in your heart, have what you say. Say it with your mouth, believe in your heart, have what you say. My grandfather says this, the number one reason why people do not get healed or they don't get what they need from God is they don't know what the word of God says. And like I said, you have to hear the word of God in order to know what it says. And you have to have somebody at least rightfully divide the word, so you have to know what the word really says, not what somebody says it says. So many times I hear these doctrines and they just don't make sense, you just wonder where these people got this stuff. But man, all we have to do is believe. And it's just, the way I've always lived is, my grandfather always has taught us just to believe God's word. God's word is true. But I think the same thing, Jesus kind of said the same thing. Many times we see the Bible where Jesus says, only believe, all things are possible to them that believes. Even whenever he was headed to Jairus' house and they came and said, well, don't even come, your daughter's dead. He turned around and looked at him and says, only believe. Now, interesting part about it is whenever he said only believe, he basically just said, keep believing. Now, Brother Hagin, when he talked about it, he switched the word act. Basically, his thing was just act like the word's true. Act like, just do what you know. You know, because, you know, we have the word. God's word says something. And, you know, his simple, he says it over and over again. God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen. And I don't know how many times that I've heard people try to talk him out of his healing, or whatever. Now, also, my grandfather did say this. He said, it's one thing to be healed, another thing to stay healed. He says, the devil is always, now the Bible tells us the devil is sneaking like a roaring lion, you know, trying to see who he may devour. He says, many, many times in his lifetime, as you, most of you know, my grandfather was healed of a deformed heart and a blood disease. So he had heart issues. You know, his heart wouldn't always work right. And also he had, you know, blood disease. He said, many times in his lifetime, the devil would try to bring back those same symptoms he had whenever he was a kid. And every time they would come back, he would say, oh, Mr. Devil, you're not going to bring that back to me. You know, and many times, you know, we hear him, he would say, well, the last headache I had was August of 1933. Anyone ever remember him saying that? But then he would say this, but I passed up many marvelous opportunities to have one. So I asked him, I said, well, you know, Papa, what was a marvelous opportunity? You know, because anyone ever hear him, he says that I passed up many marvelous opportunities. So I'm like, well, what is a marvelous opportunity? He said, well, I'd be sitting there, all of a sudden my head would start hurting. But he just said he never had a headache. No, he basically said, I never kept one. He never kept a headache. See, his head was hurt. As soon as his head was hurt, he didn't go take an aspirin. He began to confess the word. He confessed the word until it was gone. It would leave. You know, and they got to a point where the headaches quit coming because the devil knew that he had no, you know, he had to try to attack him in another area. That's what the devil does. If he can't attack you in this area, he tries to attack you in another area. He tries to attack you physically, and if that doesn't work, he'll try to get you financially. If that don't work, he'll try to attack your kids, your wife, you know, your dog. I mean, he'll attack everything. You know, I laugh sometimes that the devil's on an all-out attack, and I personally believe he's really on all attack to young people. I've seen so many young people that have died recently and have just fallen, you know, I mean, the devil's just attacking. He attacks everybody. But, you know, if you read the word, it talks about young men shall see visions. The old men shall dream dreams. It talks about, you know, about, and I believe the last day revival is going to be young people getting together, because man, when the young people get on fire, it's hard to stop them. You know, I mean, I believe we all have a part, but I believe he's going to really use young people, and it's interesting how, man, you know, I will say our students at Rhema are getting younger and younger. But man, you know, I know we were talking about this week. All the, you know, my dad, myself, and the other teachers that are there, that Man, you know, these kids are excited about God. Probably, you know, when, I've been teaching for years, and so it just seems that there's more excitement this year than there has been in the last few years, because I think people are just tired of playing church. You know, and actually, we were actually reading, you know, some of you don't realize, we actually read statistics or whatever, and now it's just really interesting. I'm a part of what's called the X generation. The generation behind me is called the millennials, or the Y generation. But, you know, I found out that my oldest son actually, you know, he's fixing, in a few days he'll be 24. He's the last of the millennials. Then after that, they have what they're called Generation Z. And that's the generation that a lot of them are now at Rhema. We have most of our Rhema students are between 18 and 22, actually, our first year students. Interesting part about it. It is interesting how, you know, psychologists, like psychiatrists or whoever determine the generations, and they went X, Y, Z, because you realize that Z is the end of the alphabet. Now, I don't know if that's on purpose, and I'm not saying that will be the last generation. I don't know. It's just interesting how that worked. But I'm not here to say, because, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theory person telling you, you know, that we're going to have this and the world's going to end tomorrow. In fact, I would rather the world not end tomorrow, because my degree's in accounting. I'm a math guy, and the math doesn't work out in favor of God. If you're trying to get more people on your team, according to the math, God's losing. According to people, you know, roughly 1 billion people, or maybe a little over 1 billion, you know, claim to maybe be a born-again Christian out of 7 billion, or probably 7.5, or whatever. I don't know what the count is right now. It keeps growing. So more people claim not to be a Christian than claim to be a Christian in this world. Now, it's hard to think because 80% of all Americans claim to be born-again Christians. But the majority of, I mean, if you go over to India, majority of them claim to be Hindu. You know, in China, majority of them claim to be Buddhist. There are more people that live in India and China that live here. You know, and in fact, if you do a thing, you know, it's probably even more that 80% of the world's youth are raised in a non-Christian home. You know, and it's really hard because 80% of the youth in the U.S. are raised in a Christian home. But they're getting secular and secular. In fact, it says that Generation Z, a lot of them weren't raised going to church. But because of that, you know what it says? That they're looking for a real God. And it's interesting part about it, you know, because see, we serve the real God. And, you know, I'm just so excited about what God's doing in our life. But you know, the thing is that simply a lot of stuff is really up to us. We have to choose to believe. Jesus is already, you know, we have a book out there that my dad wrote, and it's a really good book. I mean, he doesn't push it a whole lot, but I really like it, and especially all you have to do is look at the title to realize what it's about. And it's called It's Your Move. And there's a picture of a chess set, a real nice chess set up front. Many of you probably don't know how to play chess. I haven't played chess in a long time because I was always better at checkers than chess, and so, you know, I couldn't beat people. Tried to play the computer, couldn't beat the computer. Put it even on dumb mode, still couldn't beat the computer. So I didn't really like to play chess. But the point is that really Jesus 2,000 years ago made the first move. He provided all the stuff for us. He provided salvation, provided healing, provided all this stuff. Now really it's up to our move whether we take it or not. And it simply, you know, it simply starts, but you know, just because Jesus came and died on the cross, you know, for your salvation didn't make you saved. The only way to be saved was confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and have what you say. It's the same way to be healed, same way on everything. That's how faith works. It's the same, you know, and, you know, the devil will try to tell us it's different. Well, you know, you don't deserve to be healed. Well, you know, I don't get what it deserves. I don't deserve to be saved either. Ultimately, that's the point. You don't deserve to be saved. It's not what I deserve. I mean, it's dumb to tell me, you know, because in Christianity, we don't get what we deserve. What we get is we get God's love. His love, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness. And that's why it's easy for me to be a Christian and easy for me not to get mad at people. Because, you know, I realize that I serve a God who is full of grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness. So it's really easy for me to extend grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness because if I'm really doing what Jesus would do, then that's what I do. Because some people get mad at me. I get people get mad at me all the time because I'm nice to people that they don't think that I should be nice to because they've said mean things about me. And I'm like, so? You know how many people said mean things about Jesus? He still loved them. Many things, even ultimately, I mean, I know people today that say mean things about God, but God still loves them. You know, so, you know, I can take it. People say mean things about me sometimes, and I don't care. You know, they also perish for lack of knowledge. They don't know me. You know, that's the point. The reason they say things about Jesus, they don't know him. They don't know me. They don't understand. You know, but I understand that one thing I understand is the Bible says that God is love. You know, and it says nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I believe that's the kind of love that we should share to everyone else. And that's not really what I was talking about. What I'm trying to talk about is what Brother Hagin says, is what we need to do is we just have to act like the Bible's true. All right? And, you know, here's what he says. When the crisis of life comes, and if you don't know how to act on God's word, you're at a disadvantage. I mean, he gives an example. He says, I pastored almost 12 years and found that churches have the same problems families have. In one church I pastored, as we were discussing the problems within the church, and you know, that's why I said, you know, last week we were discussing church problems. I mean, the churches have problems. They're, you know, your family has issues. We all have problems. So he says, as we were talking about church problems, the board of deacons said to me, well, what are we going to do now? You know, because sometimes you hear some problems and it's pretty bad. You know, what are we going to do now? And he said these words, I just smiled and said, we're going to just act like the Bible is true. I mean, you know, how hard is that? Act like the Bible is true. Because you know what? If the Bible is not true, then what is? You know, I always think of the thing, you know what? If God can't take care of it, I don't know who can. I mean, you know, we're kind of up a creek. If God can't do it. But the great thing about it is whenever we have the word, and that's why I really like to get back to the old Bible stories. And I know, that's why I preached on some of them even here recently. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fiery furnace, Daniel, the lions, and why? Because I like to look at things that happened way in the Old Testament and how God delivered these people out of a bad situation that you thought that no one could ever recover from. Why? Because the Bible says that I am the Lord thy God and I change not. It says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I know that history repeats itself. Even they even tell you that, you know, in the real world, history always repeats itself. Well, what does that mean? That means that God will continue to deliver his people from whatever it might be, from tragedy, from sickness, from disease, from financial destruction, from depression, from whatever it might be. Our God's still a deliverer. We have to act like the word's true. And see, sometimes people like read Old Testament stories, I think it's almost like fairy tales. They're not fairy tales. They're true life account of something that happened and how awesome our God really is. And then what's even more awesome is they didn't even have a full knowledge of God like we do. We have a greater knowledge and we have a greater promise. So really, we should have it easier. You know, I mean, it's so easy. All we have to do is believe. Anyway, so he says, you know, we're going to act like the Bible is true. And then this is what my grandfather says. He says, you know, just by saying those words, the deacon board began to relax and sigh in relief because they knew the Bible was true. They needed someone to remind them the Bible is true. So that's why faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hey, the Bible is true. It works. Amen. It works. You know, and I think about, you know, one way how I think about, you know, about God's word, how much it works is, you know, walk into a room like this and you flip a thing called the light switch. And when you do, these lights come on. Now, there are a couple of reasons. Sometimes the lights don't come on because you didn't pay the light bill or because some of them might be burned out. But majority of the time, you know, you flip on the lights come on. Now, you know, you didn't have to get an engineering degree for those lights to work. All you had to do was flip the switch. And it's simply the same thing we do with our faith. Faith is the switch we flip. It's not hard. I mean, I've never talked to anyone that says, oh man, I've tried to flip the switch 18 times. Now, if you didn't pay the light bill, that might, you know, or, you know, a tornado knocks the light pole down or some guy drives off the side of the road and knocks the light pole down, that might be an issue. But that wasn't your fault. Majority of the time, when you flip that switch on, the lights are coming on. And if they're not coming on, or if not all of them are on, you usually sometimes there's one burnout, like, you know, I'm kind of lazy sometimes in my own house. I have three different fixtures in my closet, you know, where I have lights. And I notice I can see with two of them, and I can even see with one of them. I usually wait till all three of them burn out before, I mean, so, you know, well, either that or I end up wearing a brown sock and a blue sock or something like that, or show up to work, and my mom, and they're like, you really probably shouldn't have worn those, you know, that blue pants with that, you know, but I couldn't see because I thought they were black, you know. I don't know, I just wait. So now I found out because I've gotten the habit of changing them all the time, they all burn at the same time. I mean, you know, there was, it was like 2 days. I had two of them burn out the same day. 2 days later, the other one burned out, so I had a blackout in my closet. Well, the bad part about it, it happened overnight. So I wake up next morning, I'm trying to, so, you know, the great thing about it, I had my phone, I got my flashlight on because I'm just, you know, I'm like, I'm a last minute guy. So, you know, I don't, when it comes to time management, I try to figure out exactly what time I can leave home and make it, especially teach class on time, you know, so I don't have time to go. Because I have to get a little step ladder in order to, you know, that or step on a chair or something like that in order to change those bulbs. So I didn't have time to do all of that. So I'm over in the dark trying to make sure I don't look like an idiot when I go to work. Because, you know, most of the time I was going to like class, I have like 200 people look at me. So as soon as I get there, so you know, they're going to notice immediately that I don't match you know. So anyway, but moral of the story is change light bulbs. Yeah, so, well, see, I have this light, one of these automatic, you know, where you shut the closet door and it turns off. Anyone have those? Problem is, I usually talk my closet door all the time, so the light's almost always on all the time. Or even if I do, it doesn't shut real good, so it works its way open. So I got to a point, half the time, I don't even shut my closet door. Plus, it's kind of like my nightlight in the bathroom, because middle of the night, I usually have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and so, you know, I don't want to turn all the lights on. My closet, like, you know, lights up, you know, doesn't, so lights burn out, but that's just more about me. Anyway, act like the word's true, all right? And he says this, I believe the greater one lives in us. I believe he is greater than the devil. I know the word of God says that, so I must act like it's true. When I begin to act like the word's true, that's when it becomes a reality in my life, and that's when the greater one goes to work for me. If I act like I must fight a battle, he can't fight it. If I fight the battle, I'm not going to take advantage of the greater one, what he has done for me. Can you see that? I don't try to figure it out, the situation. I just let God's work. I just put God's word to work for me by acting on it. And the word fights my battles for me. So it's deeply important that we act on the word of God. Amen. You know, now I want to say one more thing. The Bible, you know, it says over there in Isaiah that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Remember, I said the devil will try to bring things over and over again. He'll try to bring weapons. And you have to understand that if you believe, they won't prosper. But weapons will be formed. The devil will attack you. And that's one thing I try to get people to understand. The devil is going to attack you. And you know what? You have to know what to do when you're getting attacked. Well, the way to know what to do is stay built up on your faith. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so you have to know, in order to know the word, you have to, in order to act on the word, you have to know the word. And I mean, so what I do, and I think what we should all do, is every day there are certain scriptures that I read, and I don't just read them, you know, I don't make them just a confession. I want to make sure that I not just read them, I believe them. I mean, if I'm going to say this is the day the Lord has made, I rejoice in it, I'm going to rejoice in that day. I'm not just going to say it because it's a habit. You know, it might be a good habit, but, you know, there are a lot of worse habits you could have, okay? But you know what? We need to believe what the word says, and we need to act like it's so. And so many times we say things, but we don't act like it's so. You know, we you know, a lot of times I think that we're in what my grandfather says, mental assent. We like it to be so, but we don't ever put it to practice. Man, every time I'm facing a situation, I tell you, even with this kidney thing, there are days that I can tell, I know that my kidneys aren't functioning normally. I can tell it. Especially when I go to the restroom, I can tell it. So, now a lot of times, and I actually did this, you know, before, you look at that and all of a sudden you start getting disappointed or whatever, or the devil will try to tell you, I guess you're not getting any better. Or you know what, so, you know, you got better last week, but it seems you're doing worse this week. But see, every time that I see something that looks negative, I always turn it into positive. I look at it and I say, thank you, Father, my kidneys are working normally. Thank you, Father, that I'm healed. Thank you, Father, I'm already healed. I'm already well. Every time. Every time. Every time I take a medication. I've been taking a lot of medications here recently. I take the medication. I think, thank you, Father, that I'm well. I'm no longer going to take this medication anymore. Now, I'm doing what the doctor says to do, and that's part of the issue. I overworked my body and did some things. I mean, I probably should have done some things a little better, you know, and that's something else that we, as I'm getting older, I realize that we need to sometimes there's things you can do. I mean, I like to push it, or I guess that's our family likes to push it. I mean, there's things that I could literally do. I know I physically, because the Bible says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, so I know I could do it. But I have to understand sometimes it wouldn't be best for my health to do it, but you can do it, you know, And then sometimes, you know, I don't usually worry about a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm simply not that kind of person. But sometimes, you know, sometimes I use the word we have, you know, well, they don't like me using it from the platform. I'm going to use it anyway. I use the word we have a brain fart. Because everyone knows what that means. Sometimes we just forget what we know, or we don't, you know, because there's so many things going on that our mind, and we let worry come in, although we know that we shouldn't worry. All know that there is no problem. In my situation, it's not, I never ever worry about myself because I know what to do. My situation is my kids because, you know, I'm just believing that I put enough in them or they've learned enough to know what to do is right. But I'm concerned about them. I'm not concerned about me because I don't have to worry about me. I know that I'm going to make it. I know I'm getting through it. But you see some of your kids, and especially when they even might battle with a little bit of depression or whatever. But because of things, but you know what? There's nothing I can do. And all we can do is put things in God's hands. And we have to believe that we've done our part and God will do his part and just pray in the situation and let him take care of it. Because ultimately, we'll worry ourselves to death, and really we have no control over a situation. Many times we worry about something we have no control over. I only have control over things that happen in my own life. But the thing is, I don't worry about those because I know what the Bible says for me. I know what God's word, and it doesn't matter whenever, how bad it looks, I know what God's word says. And like I said, because of my heritage, because I grew up with my grandfather, and I heard him say so many times, we're act like it's so. We're just going to, what does the Bible say? I mean, I got to a point where I never really ask him any questions because every time I ask him, he'll just ask me what the Bible says. So if I know what the Bible says, I don't have to ask him his opinion. And that's the thing. So many times we ask people his opinion when we know what the Bible says. And it's really kind of, I try not to make people look stupid. Because, people come to me and they ask me, well, Craig, what do you think? Well, it really doesn't matter what I think. Ultimately, it doesn't matter what I think because what I think doesn't matter. What matters is what does God think? What does his word say? And a lot of times, it'll keep you from even asking anybody because you know what? Let's just go to the source. Let's just see what God's word says. And the great thing is we live in a day and age where we have tools like Google or whatever, where if you want to type scriptures on whatever it might be, it'll pull up every scripture on that subject. It's easy to see what God says. We've always had Bible dictionaries and stuff like that, but now we have it a lot easier. We have tools like Google or other search engines where we can just, pull it up. I mean, it's one of the greatest things, a preacher has. It also makes us all lazy because we don't have to know where the scripture is, it's always going to be, that we carry smartphones. I mean, that's the whole reason we carry a smartphone. I got a Bible on my smartphone, but it's quicker to go to Google and type, because I know what the scripture says. I can quote it, put it in, boom, it shows me where I go, my Bible, and there I am. So it's just that simple. So all I want to do, let you know, is when we're fighting the good fight of faith, all we're doing is really acting on the word. That's fighting the good fight of faith. Just act like the word's true. Simply believe. Or going back to what Jesus said, only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that are here tonight. And we thank you, Father, that tonight will just remind us that we can believe what God's word says, that we don't have to wonder, we don't have to try to get faith, but we can have faith because we know that God's word is real. And Father, if anyone's facing a situation or circumstance and the devil's been trying to just tell them certain things, help them to be able to resist the devil and say, Mr. Devil, the Bible says this. The Bible says we're victorious. The Bible says that we're the head, not the tail. The Bible says that we're above and not beneath. The Bible says that I am healed. The Bible says that I'm going to live life more abundantly. The Bible says that I can have it. We thank you, Father, to help us just simply act on the word like we should. Father, we thank you if anyone is here that's not saved, not a child of God, that they will come to the saving knowledge of you. We thank you, Father, if anyone's here in this place that says, Craig, at one time I walked with the Lord, but I've turned my back. I went away. I want to come back home. That tonight they'll come back home. If you're here tonight and you said, Craig, I've never been saved, or I want to rededicate my life to God tonight, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. I'm pretty sure everyone here is saved, but I don't want to not give an opportunity because, I want to make sure that everyone's on the road to heaven. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you. If anyone is here, is not saved, not a child of God, that your sin labors across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you for they'll come into the saving knowledge of you. We thank you, Father, for helping each and every one of us this week as we go to to do what we need to do. Father, we thank you. Help us every day to be a blessing to someone. We thank you. You're bringing people across our path on a daily basis that we can share the love of Jesus Christ with. And we just thank you that you love us so much and that you're helping us through every situation. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise God. If anyone here needs healing, let's all stand up first of all. Anyone, if you need healing in your body, come on down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. You know, God wants you well. Amen. I mean, you know, there's no reason to be sick. And so I know the Lord challenged me one time and said, you know what? Every time that you minister, you need to give an opportunity to pray for the sick. And so that's what we endeavor to do. We've had many testimonies, you know, right here in this church. Amen. Amen. Ooh. Amen. I just want to ask you guys just to lift both hands toward heaven. I want you to close your eyes, and I just want you to think about Jesus Christ and your healing. Father God, we just thank you right now as we lay hands upon these. We thank you for the healing power of God flowing in their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And Father, we thank you. As hands are laid upon them, the power of God will minister to them, will drive out any kind of sickness or disease. And we thank you, Father, in advance for the healings that we shall see. In the name of Jesus, oh, there it is right there. The healing power of God's working in your body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, there it is right there. We thank you, Father, that the healing power of God is flowing from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, working in your body. Be healed now. That's it. That's it. Believe. Believe. Name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. What are we doing? Wait, we just messing around here. I'll be back to shake your hand. Back at that door. Like I said, if you want to go out one of the other doors, you're welcome to do that as well. God bless you guys. We'll see you back here next Sunday evening.